शैलेन बद्वा तमसाधु करिणाम्। सस्माश्रुकेशं प्रवपन् व्यरूपया थावां ममार्दु हरसैन्यमद्भुतम् यदु प्रवीरानलिनीं यथा गजा शैलेन भद्वा तमसाधु करिणाम्। सस्माश्रुकेशं प्रवपन् व्यरूपया थावान् ममार्दु परसैन्यमद्भुतम् यदु प्रवीरानलिनीं यथा गजः शैलेन बद्वा तमसाधु करिणाम्। श्माश्रुकेशं प्रवपन् व्यरूपया थावान् ममार्दु परसैन्यमद्भुतम् यदु प्रवीरानलिनीं यथा गजा
Shailena, with a strip of cloth, Bhadva, tying up, tongue, him, Asadhu Karinam, the evildoer, Sasmashukesham, leaving some of his mustache and hair remaining. Pravapan, by shaving him. Vrarupayat, made him disfigured. Tavat, by then. Mamaradhu, they had crushed. Hara, opposing. Sainyam, the army, Adbhutam, extraordinary. Yadu Pravira, the heroes of the Yadu dynasty. Nalinam.
A lotus flower.
Yatha. As.
Gajaha.
Elephants. Lord Krishna tied up the evil doer with a strip of cloth. He then proceeded to disfigure Rukmi by comically shaving him, leaving parts of his mustache and hair. By that time, the Yadu heroes had crushed the extraordinary army of their opponents, just as elephants crush a lotus flower. Purport. Lord Krishna used his same sharp sword to give the wicked Rukmi a peculiar haircut. Om Ajnanti Midandasya Jnananjana Chalakaya Chakshurun Bilitam Jena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhya Evacha Patithanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Ajanulambita Bhujau Anakathapatau Sankirtanaika Pitarau Kamalaya Takshau Vishwambarod Vijabarau Yugadharma Palau Bande Jagat Priyakarau Karunavatarau Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhunithananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivashati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Lord Krishna tied up the evildoer with a strip of cloth. He then proceeded to disfigure Rukmi by comically shaving him, leaving parts of his mustache and hair. By that time, the Yadu heroes had crushed the extraordinary army of their opponents, just as elephants crush a lotus flower. We are reading this morning of the Supreme Lord Krishna's wonderful pastime of kidnapping his eternal consort, Rukmini, from the assembly of demoniac kings. Rukmini, the eternal consort of the Lord from the spiritual world of Goloka, she descended into this world especially and exclusively for the purpose of rendering loving service to the Lord. She appeared as the daughter of Maharaj Bhishmaka, who is a great and pious king himself. But somehow or other, her brother, Rukmi, was very envious. Rukmi had every possible opportunity to perfect his life with a sister like Rukmini, with a father like Maharaj Bhishmaka. But due to his misuse of independence, he chose to associate with such envious and demoniac materialistic people like Shishupal
Jarasandha, Salva, and others.
And therefore he lost all of his virtuous qualities.
When you associate with people who are envious of Krishna, then you become envious.
When you are envious of Krishna, you are potentially envious of everyone and anyone who somehow or other interferes with your sense gratification.
So due to envy, Rukmi, although knowing his sister wanted to marry Krishna, he manipulated the situation in such a way that he was enabled to arrange for the marriage of his sister to Shishupal, Krishna's worst enemy.
The person who dedicated his entire life to blaspheming Krishna and everything he ever did.
How is this possible? But we see it every day. Everything within this world, all fortune, is a manifestation of Lakshmi, who is an expansion of Rukmini.
Everything is meant for the enjoyment of Krishna only, just as Rukmini is meant for the enjoyment of Krishna only.
But because foolish, envious beings following in the footsteps of Rukmi, they want to claim proprietorship and control over Krishna's property and utilize it against the principles of his will. What happens is, ultimately they all are defeated by the Lord in this life and at death. So Rukmini, she took this opportunity to pray to Krishna, to cry to Krishna. She sent a letter through a Brahman, and Krishna, in answer to his letter, he appeared just at the time of her marriage. And he took her by the hand and placed her on the chariot. And this way, he performed the feat of kidnapping her right in the midst of all of these demoniac kings who all attacked him. But Krishna easily defeated them all and drove off. As Balaram and the Yadus, they came to fight off the armies of Rukmi and Jarasandha and Shishupal and others. After they were all defeated, Rukmi himself, he was so outraged at the audacity of what Krishna dared to do to foil all of his plans, that he personally attacked Krishna. He rode after him on his chariot, and he began to shout all sorts of terrible, terrible insults toward Krishna. And he began to shoot the Lord with arrows. But ultimately, Krishna effortlessly defeated him. And he was about to kill this rascal. At that time, Rukmini, who was a very gentle-hearted and loving devotee, she became very fearful. Her limbs began to tremble. And with great feeling and compassion, she begged Krishna, "Please, please do not kill my brother." She was at the Lord's lotus feet, piteously pleading for mercy upon this evildoer. Such is the nature of the qualities of the great devotees. How forgiving Rukmini had given her heart to Krishna long before, and she expressed her desire to her brother, and she obviously also told him that she absolutely didn't want anything to do with Shishupal. And marriage, according to the traditional Vedic system, it is a lifelong affair. When one is married, there is no question of separation or divorce until ultimately you either die or you're old enough in this matter of kings where all of your children can take over the thrones, and then generally you take vanapras together and go into the forests. And then at the very, very last stage of life, you may take sannyas. So what Rukmi was arranging was truly a fate worse than death for Rukmini. She was a devotee of Krishna with her heart and soul. Her body was meant, her mind was meant, her entire being was meant only for Krishna's satisfaction. And Rukmi, blaspheming Krishna, wanted to give her to Krishna's enemy, where she would hear nothing but insults toward Krishna and abuse toward her own life. And Rukmi literally was forcing her into a fate worse than death. How cruel! How evil! Where was his love for Rukmini? And ultimately, to save herself from her own brother's demoniac tendencies, she was weeping and crying, praying, begging, Krishna, please save me. And when Krishna came to save her, Rukmi was the one more than anyone else, more than even Shishupal, who came to try to kill. He was blaspheming and ultimately endeavoring to kill the only object of her love and affection. He was shooting arrows into the body of Krishna with the intent of taking her back and casting her to the jackal, Shishupal, for her whole life. Krishna came in answer to her prayers. Krishna kidnapped Rukmini because of Rukmini's intense desire that he do so. And in the process of trying to satisfy her heart's desires, he had to conquer entire armies of the greatest, mightiest asuras on the earth. And ultimately, his fight with Rukmi was only for the purpose of protecting Rukmini. What type of injustice did this man do for his sister? But yet, at the point when he was about to be given his rightful punishment by the Lord, Rukmini fell at Krishna's feet and piteously prayed, O mighty armed one, O master of the universe, O all auspicious one, please do not kill my brother. This is the nature of a Vaishnava. We see a similar experience in the story of Jagai and Madhai. Just as Rukmi was trying in every way to destroy Rukmini's life, Jagai and Madhai were attentive to kill Lord Nityananda Prabhu. They blasphemed him with so many harsh, terrible words. They smashed the clay pot upon his head, causing him to bleed. The blood profusely flowing, covering his face and his clothing. And Madhai was about to dash another blow upon his head. He wanted to kill him. And when the news came to Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he appeared with the wrath of the destroyer of the cosmic manifestation, called his Sudarshan Chakra, and was about to kill these two brothers, Nityananda Prabhu, with great humility and feeling, he prayed. He begged the Lord, please do not kill them. Be merciful to them. Do you know this Jagai? He personally tried to stop Madhai from hitting me again. When Lord Chaitanya heard this, he embraced Jagai. Oh, you tried to help my devotee. And by embracing him, he gave him ecstatic love for Krishna. But he was still attentive to kill Madhai. But Nityananda Prabhu said, actually, my Lord, he didn't even hit me on purpose. It was actually an accident. And it doesn't even hurt. Honest, there's no pain. Please be kind upon him. Please forgive him. And Madhai, falling at the feet of Lord Gauranga, he became very sober. He said, you have forgiven my brother and given him an ecstatic love. He's done all the same crimes as me. Please also give me your mercy. And Mahaprabhu said that you have offended my devotee. Unless you fall at his feet and get his blessings, no one can forgive you. So when he fell at Lord Nityananda's feet, Lord Nityananda, with great love and affection to the very person who insulted him, chased after him, and attempted to kill him, the same person who caused blood to flow from his beautiful lotus-like head, Nityananda Prabhu is none different than Balaram, who's so powerful. We read about the incredible feats of strength of Lord Balaram. How with a single stroke of his plow, he was about to destroy the entire Kuru dynasty and cast the whole of Hastinapur into the Ganges. How his mere plenary expansion of Anantashesha, his holding on his hoods all the universes within the cosmic manifestations. How a plenary part of a part of a part of his divine form is Lord Shiva, who destroys the entire cosmic manifestation at the time of annihilation. What was Madhai before Lord Nityananda? But yet, Lord Nityananda Prabhu, he displayed a greater form of power than Balaram ever personally exhibited. His power of supreme forgiveness and mercy. Balaram destroyed the demons with his fist, or with his plow, or with his club. But Nityananda Prabhu, the same Balaram, he destroyed the demoniac quality and gave pure love to the demons through his weapon of mercy and forgiveness, begging mercy for those who'd endeavored to kill him. Rukmini, she is also begging Krishna, please, he's my brother. Do not kill him. Be kind upon him. Rukmini here is playing the role of the Lord's devotee. Of course, as an expansion of Srimati Radhikarani, she is a supreme devotee of the Lord. And we can learn from this beautiful story that however sinful, however offensive we may have been in this life and previous lives, if somehow or other we gain the mercy of a devotee who is dear to the Lord, and that devotee prays to the Lord on our behalf, that is our only hope of being rescued from all of our karmic reactions. Krishna says in Gita, Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam vraja aham tvam sarva bhavibhyo mokshai shamimasachaha. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender to me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. But how to surrender to Krishna? Madhai, he's, after realizing what a sinful, terrible person he was, he endeavored to surrender to Lord Chaitanya. But as far as Lord Chaitanya was concerned, he was going to hold him to all of his sins and destroy him. But when he surrendered to the Lord's devotee, and the devotee pleaded on behalf of Madhai, he was rescued. So therefore, we should know that without the divine merciful intervention of a devotee, we have no hope of approaching the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When a devotee prays on our behalf, the Lord cannot refuse. That is the nature of his love for his devotee. Srila Prabhupada, I remember, he was in Vrindavan and he was speaking to us and he was explaining the exceptional nature of the mercy of Sri Radharani. Rukmini is the expansion of Sri Radharani. So we can understand through this narration of Srila Prabhupada exactly what is taking place here. He said, in Vrindavan, we will find that almost all the residents, they are always calling upon the names of Sri Radharani. Jai Sri Radhe, Jai Radhe, Radhe Shyam. Why is this? Because they know that without receiving the mercy of Sri Radharani, we cannot approach Lord Sri Krishna. Prabhupada explained that Radharani is most pleased when we please the servants of her servants. And when she sees that we are sincerely endeavoring to please the Vaishnavas, to satisfy our spiritual master, then Srimati Radharani becomes so obliged to that devotee who is pleasing her devotees that she personally approaches Krishna. And with such humility and love, she says, Thakurji Shyam Sundar, please accept this devotee. He is better than me. And when Srimati Radhikarani expresses this appeal to the Lord, he cannot refuse. He has no power to refuse the love of his devotee. So how absolutely essential it is for our spiritual progress, that we somehow or other win the favor of the Vaishnavas. And somehow or other, by our sincere service to them, we impel them by their natural devotion and compassion to pray on our behalf for our own deliverance. That is our only hope. It is not through studying very high spiritual literatures that we will gain entrance into the eternal abode of the Lord. It is by sincerely engaging in the process of devotional service under the guidance of a proper guru and properly trying to please the Vaishnavas. When they plead to Krishna on our behalf, then only is Krishna pleased to give us entrance into his divine abode. It is a very simple and sublime process. Gopi Bharatur Pada Kamalayora Dasa Dasanu Das. To be the servant of the servant of the servant. And what is the nature of a servant? He's not simply doing his service, but he is doing his service in such a way to please the devotees, to satisfy, to encourage, to assist the Vaishnavas. And however sinful, however abominable and offensive we have been, it doesn't matter. When the Vaishnavas forgive us and beg Krishna to bestow mercy, their prayer and Krishna's mercy is more powerful than all the sins that anyone could commit in the entire span of the creation. That is the nature of the power of the love of the devotees. So Rukmini, she did not mind all of the atrocious injustices that Rukmi inflicted upon her, trying to spoil her entire life, trying to even destroy the object of her love. Haridas Thakur is another example of such Vaishnav compassion. He and Nityananda Prabhu were actually a team to preach together throughout Navadvip. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas, you go to every house, to every person you see, and you plead with them. Always remember Krishna. Worship Krishna. Serve Krishna. In this way you will become my life and soul. Haridas Thakur, what was his nature? When he was beaten with canes through all the 22 marketplaces of the village of Fulia, and these savage, ruthless executioners, they were spitting on him. They were blaspheming him. They were shouting all obscenities toward him. They were trying to totally humiliate him in front of the whole town by kicking him and beating him and pulling him by the hair. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained later at the house of Srivas that while they were doing this to you, Haridas, in Vaikuntha, I had my Sudarshan Chakra and I aimed it to sever the heads of these demons. But while you were being beaten, bloody, terribly, they wanted to kill you, you were praying with such intense emotion, "Dear Lord, please forgive them. Not only forgive them, but please give them love of God." He said the power of your prayer to forgive them was more powerful than my resolve to destroy them. Therefore, although I tried as hard as I could to throw my Sudarshan chakra would not leave my finger, because your love prevented it from doing so. This is the nature of the great Vaishnavas. So here, Lord Sri Krishna, he was not able to disrespect the prayers of Rukmini, but at the same time, paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha duskritam dharma samstapanaradaya sambhavami juge juge. It is his duty as an incarnation not only to please his devotees, but also to punish the miscreants. So he decided to punish Rukmi in such a way that he still lived, so Rukmini would be satisfied. But at the same time, Rukmi and the rest of his demonic associates would see that he had been dealt with properly. Krishna knew that for a kshatriya, dishonor is even worse than death. And he also explained to Arjuna the same philosophy. So I will do something to Rukmi which will not disturb Rukmini, but it will be worse than killing him. I will humiliate him. Because you know it's the nature of pride that we become so attached to our appearance before others as a great, successful, victorious personality, that for that pride to be smashed is more painful than death itself. So Krishna, he took the same sword he was about to kill Rukmi with, and he used it to kill his pride. How? First he tied him up with a strip of cloth. Then he began to shave him with his sword. He just shaved parts of his mustache so that parts were there and parts were not there. And he did the same thing with his hair. So that with those spot of hair here, spot of hair there, and the rest was shaved. Not like Sika, but different style. And in this way, he looked so ridiculous. He looked so foolish. And Rukmi, his ego being smashed to pieces, it explains that he was dying in shame in an utterly sorrowful condition. And of course, Balaram, he then approaches Krishna, as we'll be reading in the future verses, in the mood of Lord Nityananda, something like that. And he says, "Krishna, why did you do that?" "He's not so bad. You have acted improperly. After all, he's the brother of your wife." "And he's also our close relative. Always seeing the good quality." When Krishna punishes us,
we should know
that Krishna is never envious. Krishna is never hateful. However Krishna deals with anybody, it is always ultimately for their good, if they can just recognize his mercy. We are all aspiring to be devotees. We have all been sinful, materialistic people in the past. Who could deny it? But somehow or other, by some Sukriti and by the causeless mercy of the Vaishnavas and Sri Gurudev, we have all come to the path of bhakti. We were all fit to be cast into the flames of torment for all of the egoistic activities of our past. But because of the mercy and the prayers of Srila Prabhupada and his divine servants, somehow or other, we're all taking to Krishna consciousness. But still, Krishna does what's best for us. Sometimes he will humiliate you. Sometimes, in his own way, he will cut parts of your hair and parts of your mustache to make a complete fool out of you. Sometimes he will show you what a useless... Sometimes you will be defeated. This is all Krishna's mercy, to ultimately uplift us and bring us closer to his loving service. Therefore, a devotee, tateno kambam sushamikshamano bunjana evatmakritam vipagam ridvagva purvir vidadam namaste jivete muktipade sadayavak. A devotee, even when Krishna puts him through terrible crises in life, painful, suffering conditions, whether they be physical or subtle, with folded palms, we bow down to Krishna with a grateful heart. Thank you. I deserve so much worse. But of your mercy, you are doing this just to bring me closer to you. To such a devotee who can be grateful to Krishna under all circumstances, liberation is his rightful claim. This wonderful pastime of Krishna kidnapping Rukmini and the divine nature of Rukmini's love was also exhibited by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Do you know the story? Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was performing his Sankirtan pastimes at Navadweep, he called his devotees together, especially one very wealthy Vaishnava whose name was Budhimanta Khan. And he told Budhimanta Khan that I want to dance in a beautiful drama for the glorification of Krishna. And I want you to arrange all the facilities so that we can all enjoy this drama together. So Budhimanta Khan arranged a pandal and all sorts of other various festive facilities. Chandrasekhar Bhavan. Chandrasekhar Acharya was the father-in-law, not father-in-law, what was his relation? Chandrasekhar's wife, Malati, was the sister of Sachi Devi, the mother of Lord Chaitanya. So he was something like an uncle. So all the arrangements were made, and all the pure Vaishnavas were being invited. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that, "I don't want anyone that has any attachment to sense gratification to be invited to this drama, because it will be a drama of pure devotional service." And when he said this, Advaitacharya began to draw lines on the ground in great lamentation. And he said, "My Lord, I'm afraid that I will not be able to go to see this beautiful drama because I am still so much controlled by material desires and sense enjoyment." And then Srivas Pandit, he said, "My Lord, I also have no qualifications to come because I still have so much attachments to sense enjoyment." This is the nature of the humility of a devotee. Devotees always feel themselves to be the most fallen. And the more exalted you become as a devotee, the more you feel yourself fallen. That is the nature of humility. So when Lord Chaitanya saw their feelings, he said, "If this is the case, then no one will be there to see my dancing. So you come," he said, "you come, and if you see my dancing, that will relieve you of all desires for sense gratification." So all the very, very intimate, loving servants of the Lord, they all assembled at Chandrasekhar Bhavan. Sachi Devi was there as well. And Sri Chay, it began where Haridas Thakur came out. He was dressed as one of the guards of Vaikuntha. And then Srivas Thakur, he came out dressed up as Narada Muni, and he announced that the play is about to begin. And meanwhile, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was in the back dressing room where he personally made himself up to play the part of Rukmini. And then he came out. And when he came out, he was in the mood of Rukmini when she was sitting in her father's palace. And she had just written the letter and sent it with the Brahman to Krishna, begging Krishna to come and kidnap her, to rescue her from this fate worse than death of being swept away by Shishupal. But Krishna, he did not come. Every second was like millenniums, as Rukmini did not know whether he would ever receive the message, whether she was even qualified for Krishna to respond and come. So in that mood of sublime separation from Krishna, praying to him to rescue her, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was weeping incessant tears from his beautiful lotus eyes. And he looked exactly like Rukmini. In fact, Sachi Devi, his own mother, she turned to the devotees and said, "Who is that?" They said, "That is Nimai, Gauranga. It is your son." And she was struck with wonder. As the Lord was weeping in separation, all the devotees, everyone, being completely overwhelmed by his spiritual emotions, they all started weeping in separation from the Lord.
And then Lord Gauranga, completely immersed in the mood of Rukmini, he began to recite the beautiful prayers that she offered to Krishna in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as we know, was Krishna, who had descended to experience the wonderful love and separation that was eternally within the heart of Srimati Radharani. And Rukmini, being a partial expansion of Radharani, we should know that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was not just playing the part of Rukmini, but it was actually Rukmini herself reliving the experience. And in front of all the devotees in the beautiful house of Chandrasekhar, as his limbs were trembling in ecstatic love and tears were flowing from his eyes, he began to recite these prayers. Srutva gunan bhuvana sunda srinvatam te. O beauty of the worlds, having heard your qualities, which enter the ears of those who hear and remove their bodily distress, and having also heard of your beauty, which fulfills all the visual desires of those who see, I have fixed my shameless mind upon you, O Krishna. O Mukunda, you are equal only to yourself in lineage, character, beauty, knowledge, youthfulness, wealth, and influence. O lion among men, you delight the minds of all mankind. What aristocratic, sober-minded, and marriageable girl of a good family would not choose you as her husband when the proper time has come? Therefore, my Lord, I have chosen you as my husband, and I surrender myself to you. Please come swiftly, O Almighty One, and make me your wife. My lotus-eyed Lord, let Shishupal never touch the hero's portion like a jackal stealing the property of a lion. If I have sufficiently worshipped the Supreme Personality of Godhead by pious works, sacrifices, charity, rituals, and vows, and also by worshipping the demigods, Brahmins, and Gurus, then may Gadagraja come and take my hand and not Dhammaghosha's son or anyone else. O unconquerable one, tomorrow, when my marriage ceremony is about to begin, you should arrive unseen in Vidarbha and surround yourself with the leaders of your army, then crush the forces of Chaitya and Magadhendra and marry me in the Rakshasa style, winning me with your valor. Since I will be staying within the inner chambers of the palace, you may wonder, how can I carry you away without killing some of your relatives? But I shall tell you the way. On the day before the marriage, there is a grand procession to honor the royal family's deity. In this procession, the new bride goes outside the city to visit Goddess Girija. O lotus-eyed one, great souls like Lord Shiva hanker to bathe in the dust of your lotus feet and thereby destroy their ignorance. If I cannot obtain your mercy, I shall simply give up my vital force, which will become weak from the severe penances I will perform. Then after hundreds of lifetimes of endeavor, I may obtain your mercy. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, praying these wonderful words of Rukmini, not only did he taste the sweetness of her ecstatic love, but he also distributed the sweetness of her ecstatic love to all the devotees present. Beginning tonight, we will be celebrating Gaur Purnima. How wonderful and fortunate we all are. By the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, we have all come under the lotus feet of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu.
What is his gift?
He has come personally to taste the sweetness of the love of Srimati Radharani. But not only that, but he has come to distribute the sweetness of that love to every living being without discrimination. To anyone who is willing to simply accept his mercy, associate with his devotees, and very carefully and joyfully chant his holy names.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama,
Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki. Thank you very much. Is there any questions? We should have Guru Puja.